Tonight we're looking at the parable of the sower. Everything in our lives begins and ends with the Word of God. You remember how we were talking about how we need to meditate on the promises of the Word of God when we're tempted to be stressed? What are we going to do? We're going to find a promise for our problem and we're going to trust God will perform that which He has promised. But we need to know the Word of God. So the Word of God has to be in us. And it's the Word of God that grows in us. It's the Word of God that helps us stand against the enemy. It's the Word of God that helps us to be the people that we ought to be. It helps us to be those people who are going out and praying for the sick and seeing signs and wonders and miracles right before our very eyes. This is where it fits in with the Signs and Wonders series that's been going almost a year now, if probably not longer. This is where it all fits in. The Word of God. And then we're going to look at this parable, how it relates to the Word of God and our hearts, and how to bring about change in our hearts and our lives, and how God wants us to be truly fruitful. Sometimes we look at this parable and we say it's for the unbeliever, or certainly some of the parts we say it's for the unbeliever, but I want just to apply it to the unbeliever and the believer. So it's relevant for all of us, and I shall apply it as we go along. But first of all, let's read it. It's in Mark chapter 4, verses 3-9. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'll perhaps say a little bit more about that in a minute. In fact, I will do that. But, you know, what Jesus is saying, he's got ears to hear, let him hear. Listen up, pay attention, because what I'm about to say is very important. And he said to them, Do you not understand, I'm just jumped a few verses now. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now, I'll just stop in here for one moment, because Jesus is saying, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand the rest. In other words, what Jesus is saying, this is an important parable. If you don't get a hold of this, everything else I'm going to say to you, you know, you're not going to really benefit from. You really need to understand this parable and how it applies to you. This is important. If you don't understand this, you won't understand out. So, then the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure it only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises, for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, they accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So, let's apply it not only to those outside the kingdom, but those inside the kingdom as well. First of all, we've got the sower who is sowing the word. It's the preacher. It's the one bringing the message of God. This is what I'm doing now. I'm sowing the word. I'm planting the word. The word of God. When you witness to somebody, you are planting the word of God. Where you are sharing the truth of who God is and what he's done for you. And you're telling them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for them. And that they might be forgiven. You are planting the word. When you are telling other people about kingdom principles, the truth that sets them free, you are sowing the word. So it's the word of God, not literally just the word of God as in the Bible, but the message that comes out that God is speaking. God's word. God's word wants to change our lives. Hallelujah. The word is the seed. In the original parable, the sower is anyone who shares the word of God, who speaks the truth in love. I've put that down because sometimes you can get people who bash you over the head with the Bible. That is not sowing the word. That is not sowing the word. The word has to be sown in love. Okay, we won't go too much into that. Okay. No Bible basher who speaks condemnation and looks down upon you is condescending and self-righteous, but one who is planting the word of God in your life in love. Hopefully that's what I'm doing now. Hopefully what you do with other people when you share the truth with them. Let's look then at the first place where the seed goes. It falls on the wayside, the ground around the field. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it's almost as if the word comes out and immediately, I'm using you as an example, David, immediately the enemy steals it so David doesn't receive what I've spoken. How many of you know that Satan comes to church on a Sunday night? Because he's there stealing the word before it's absorbed into your heart. As I preach it, it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. There are distractions. Why do you think there are so many distractions sometimes? Why do you think that people are looking at bits of sellotape stuck on the ceiling, you know, and thinking, what's that doing up? There's nothing more that irritates me than these false ceilings and see bits of sellotape stuck round there. If you ever go to a hospital or a doctor's waiting room, there's always a bit of Christmas decoration stuck in the corner. There ain't a bit of Christmas decoration stuck in the corner here because I've gone round and taken it off. But you can be sat there and you can be thinking, it's too hot, it's too cold. Look at that bit of blue tack on the ceiling or whatever. He's had his hair cut. I wonder, it looks like they've dyed their hair this week. Oh. And what we're doing, the enemy comes and steals it from hearing the word of God. We're distracted by the people around us. We're distracted by people outside. And we've all had that experience where those kids came and knocked on the door and caused havoc at some point in our meetings sometimes, because the enemy was wanting us to be so distracted that we didn't hear the word of God. So steals it immediately. But then if you look at what Matthew says, you see, because the enemy knows. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to receive the word, because if he knows that you receive the word, it's going to change your life. It's going to heal your marriages. It's going to heal your finances. It's going to heal your relationships. It's going to change your life. It's going to put you the right way up. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring life into your life. It's going to bring peace into your life. The word of God makes a difference, and that's why the enemy is so keen to steal it. To make sure that you don't receive of a Sunday or whenever you're sat reading your word, when you're sat reading your Bible or listening to somebody's message. But then if we look at what Matthew says when he relates the story of the parable of the sower, he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes away what was sown in the heart. So Mark talks about the enemy coming and stealing it immediately, but Matthew talks about how there is sometimes a lack of understanding. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I think one of the things that we need to do when we come to receive the word is to be listening to the word. Because we all hear, but do we hear? You know, we've all had kids or grandchildren, or you know what I say when I use the illustration that sometimes you can say to your child, it's time to go to bed. It's not that they didn't hear you, it's that they didn't hear you because they didn't want to. So we need to have an ear to hear so that we, because we need to understand, you see, that it's part of understanding is a willingness to hear. But again, you see, when we're talking about understanding, you see, the enemy doesn't want us to understand. He doesn't want us to absorb the truth of God's word. You know, because once we start to absorb the God's word, oh, by stripes I'm healed. Suddenly you get that revelation. You understand it. The enemy doesn't want you to understand the truth. The word is always, he'll distract you, he'll prevent you from understanding. He doesn't want you to understand that he loves you. He doesn't want you to understand that God forgives you and has been gracious towards you and gives you life and peace and joy. What stops you and me from bearing fruit is a lack of understanding. And that's why it's such a joy to me when someone here comes to me after an evening service or a morning service or after a few weeks after I've been preaching on a theme, and they said, Ian, you know, you were talking about this or whatever, you know, I understand it. And my heart leaps with joy, and I say, praise the Lord, the penny's dropped. Thank you, Jesus. There's a revelation. And then you know what it means to you when there's a revelation. Suddenly, you start believing the word of God. By his stripes, I'm healed. You have that revelation that by his stripes, you're healed. And then that helps you to receive your healing that you hadn't done before so far. Okay. When we go to talking about the unbeliever, this is some application now. The scripture says, or Paul says, that the enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Have I got that scripture on here? But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. And so one way of which we can pray for the unbeliever is to bind the enemy, to stop him making them blind. Because when we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus, he has to do as he's told. When blindness is bound in Jesus' name, suddenly someone comes under the sound of the gospel, and because the enemy has been bound by us in prayer, you know, they understand the gospel. So that's how we apply this to the unbeliever. But then, for the believer, it is hearing, it is paying attention, but it is also preparing our hearts so that we say to the Lord, oh Lord, I just pray that we will have a greater revelation. So here it is, one of our key scriptures that we've been looking at over the last year. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. His holy people are his glorious, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand. That's my prayer for you. I hope that's your prayer for the church, that we would understand that the same Holy Spirit
who raised Jesus from the dead lives and reigns in us. Now you've heard me say it again and again and again. Gal said it at the beginning of the meeting. Have we got it yet? We're not. We're getting there. We're getting there. Lord, give me that understanding so that I see. May my eyes be open to the truth of your word. May I not be distracted by the enemy. May I not let the enemy steal your word as it's preached. But may I have an ear to hear. And may my spiritual ears, my spiritual eyes, be open to that which you've got for me.
Stony ground, no root in themselves. These likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. See if I can look at my notes very quickly to see what I've got to say. Very good. Look what it says. These likewise are the ones who are on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Praise God. So these are the people who come to church on a Sunday morning, come to church on a Sunday evening, or they're reading their word at home, and they open it up and it says, God loves you. And when they're somebody particularly who feels unworthy and they feel condemned, and they see that this message, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that their sin has been totally forgiven, and now that they've got eternal life with him, it makes them glad. Hey, whoa. They want to do a cartwheel in the street. It makes them glad. The word of God makes them glad. And they go home and they say, woohoo. Look at this. And somebody says to them, you don't want to believe that, do you? You don't. What are you doing, you flat earth person? You're the person who's stuck in the dark ages, who doesn't believe in science, who doesn't believe in reality. Get a life. Don't you keep going to that church and be told that claptrap. You. Hey? This is the persecution of the world. They rob us of the truth of God's word. Or this and they have no root in themselves. So, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, so I've just mentioned the persecution, but afterwards, when a tribulation, so for the word's sake, so it's not God that's sending the tribulation, it's because of the word that the tribulation is coming, it's because of the fact that you've stood up for Christ and you're saying you're believing in him. You see, the enemy comes against you. I'm glad, because by his stripes I'm healed. I'm going forward for prayer. I'm going to go for. Hallelujah. They go out the door with a spring in the step, and the next morning they've got a pain and they say, oh, it didn't work. It's not real. It must have been the fact that I had 2 cups of coffee and my heart was racing and that made me feel better, or it must have been the fact that I still had some paracetamol in my blood. Oh, all these weird excuses that the enemy puts in your mind. See, the enemy doesn't want you to receive the word of God. So he'll send challenges your way. He'll send people your way. He'll tell you it's a load of rubbish. It's a load of claptrap. He'll send challenges your way that will make you doubt and walk away from believing the word of God. Even though you initially received it with joy. See, the enemy doesn't want you to receive. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. In the AV, the word stumble there is the word offence. They take offence. I've had lots of people take offence at me in the past. Take offence over the silliest of things. They take offence over the tie that I'm wearing about. I've noticed, Ian, that when you don't agree with people, you frown. And when I said this to you, you frowned and you don't agree with me, so I'm offended. What? I might have just had an itch. And we can get offended sometimes. Now, I'm making light of offence, but I know that sometimes when we are offended, it's very real. Someone has said this to this. Someone said this to us, and it's not very nice, and they shouldn't have said it. Someone has done this, and it's not very nice, and they shouldn't have done it. They should have done this, and they didn't, and now we're offended. And I think what we've got to do is we've got to let it go.
What are you doing? It's easy for you to say let it go.
But we have to let it go, because what's the next verse here? Great peace of those who love your law and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace is those who love your law and nothing causes them to take offence. We have got to realise that offence, or the enemy coming against us with somebody saying, I don't like the way you frown, and them getting upset with me and me getting upset with them, is all about the enemy pinching the word of God from me. Because he doesn't want me to have a life of joy and a life of peace and a life of blessing. Because if all we got is a strop with everybody else, the enemy has stolen that which from us is there. Even if it hurts, even if it pains me to think that so-and-so has got away with something and they need a taste of their own medicine, I'm going to rise above it, because I'm not going to allow the devil to rob me of a harvest. Thorny ground, briars and thistles. Now these are the ones who, sown among thorns, they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I think I might have touched on this passage the other week. That is where I'm saying, you know, it all blends into where we're at. You know, it's all these common themes that come up and again, because God wants to teach us something. So, the thorny briars and thistles are the cares of this world. Well, what have we done? Philippians 4:6, we looked at that last week, that don't worry about anything, let's see, but pray about everything. Got it right, didn't I? Not like we're too stressed to be blessed. I got that wrong last week. We are too blessed to be stressed. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You know, this is what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. You know, God doesn't want us to worry about anything. We weren't designed to worry about things. We weren't designed to pace up and down the living room all night, worried about this, that and the other. God wants us to be at peace. He died that we might have peace. He died that we don't have to worry. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitful riches, the deceitfulness of riches, meaning the idea that riches are the answer to everybody's problem. The deceitfulness of riches. Now, it didn't say that it's wrong to have riches, just like it says that the scripture says that it's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's the deceitfulness of riches. The idea that if only I had another £1,000... I'd be all right. Everything would be okay. I can guarantee you, I could give you £1,000 and tomorrow it would all be gone. But it wouldn't be okay. The deceitfulness of riches says that, you know, money is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You know, God is the answer for every need that you have. Not more money. More money is not going to make you happy. In fact, more money is probably going to more likely to make you miserable. Anyway. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in to choke the world. I heard a joke. I hesitate to tell you the joke, but then I realise now that if I say I've heard a joke this week, you'll all be wondering to know what the joke is. So I just as well tell it, hadn't I, now, because you'll all be asking me afterwards. And it was about this man who lost his wife. His wife had gone missing. And he rang up the police the following morning. He says, I'd like to report that my wife has been missing. She's been missing since yesterday afternoon. And the desk sergeant on the other end of the phone said, well, can you give me a description? How tall is she? Oh, question. How tall is my wife? Probably between, what am I? 5 foot 8. Well, she's, you shorter than me. Probably between 5 foot and maybe 5 foot 6, you know, somewhere like that. Okay, between 5 foot and 5 foot 6. Okay, what colour is her hair? Oh, well, sometimes she has it blonde, sometimes she has it brown. I can't quite remember what season it is and what colour her hair is at the minute. But blonde or brown? Okay. What colour are her eyes? Oh, that's interesting. I don't think I've looked into them lately. I can't quite remember what... A brownie colour. Put brown down. What was she wearing? Well, to be honest with you, the last time I saw her, she was... Did she have the pink trousers on or the blue ones? Or okay. What was she doing? Well, she was going out shopping. She'd taken my car. Can you describe your car? What car was she? Oh, yes. She was in my Range Rover Discovery. Black. With a silver stripe down the edge. with custom 18-inch alloy wheels. Leather seats. Sat-nav. USB port. Climate control. Oh, and it's got a custom-built Blu-ray player for the passengers in the back seat. Got DAB radio, supercharged V8 engine with 8 cylinders. It's hybrid. It can run on petrol or LPG. It's got a sunroof, and I've had some special things put on the side. Spoilers, I think. What Gaz has got? Spoilers on the side of my side of my van, and and it's got a personalised number plate. Can you tell me what the personalised number plate is? Yes, certainly. And he told him what the number plate was, and the policeman said, sir, we will do everything that we can to find your car. The deceitfulness of riches. The lust for things. And he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things, of the things he possesses. Perhaps the joke should have gone there. Anyway, don't be deceived by things that other people... You know, even as a pastor, I can look at other churches and covet what they have, what ministry they've got, what gifts they've got. We can, as a congregation, covet one another's gifts, can't we? In the sense that, you know, I wish I could pray like that. I wish I had that anointing. I wish I had that gift. Instead of being jealous about what other people have got, let us spend time discovering that which God has given us. That unique gift for us. But then... Oh, have we got that? Yeah, very good. Okay. But then on the good ground. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who hear the word. Accept it. And bear fruit. Did you see that there's a distinction between hearing the word and accepting the word? Because again, going back to that illustration about we can hear things. We can, you go to bed now, you know, but we've not really understood it. Sometimes we can even understand the word, but we don't accept it. So we can have a good theological understanding about the atonement, that is the idea of Jesus dying on the cross for us, that our sins might be forgiven. We could have a good understanding, we could have a Bible college degree about the theology of healing, the theology of God providing for us, the theology of God answering our prayer, the theology of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives and reigns in us. And we can understand it,
But do we accept it? By stripes you are healed. Do you accept it? You theologically assent to it, but do you accept it? Do you receive it? You know, when there is a need in your life, do you accept the fact that the Word says that I will supply all your needs according to Christ's riches, to the riches in Christ Jesus? Do you hear it? Do you accept it? Look at the example of Mary. So, this is Mary, teenager, 13 to 16, 17, let's not bother about the how old she was, but she was a young girl. And the angel, came to her and said, "Oh, Mary, nice to see you, I've got a message for you, you're going to have a baby." "Well, thanks very much, Angel Gabriel. Got a question. How's that going to be? Because I didn't know whether you knew this, but I'm not married." And the angel replies this. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit, and I could, if I had time, and time's really gone, maybe another occasion for this, we could talk about the Word hovering over Mary and impregnating her with the Word of God. And I could go into some of the Greek language that sort of talks about that kind of sexual kind of language that talks about impregnation of the Word of God. I haven't got time for that tonight, but essentially what happens is that the Word comes and conceives. "The highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then Gabriel does something that is worthy of note. He says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who has been called barren. Let me start that again. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who has been called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." So what Gabriel does, he gives Mary a testimony that encourages her to receive the Word. See where I'm going now, you see? This is why I'm wanting you to have a testimony. Because what the testimony does, it encourages the faith of Mary. So Mary is encouraged by the fact, "Oh, you thought it was impossible? Well, nothing's impossible because, you know, Elizabeth, your cousin, you know how old she is? Yes. You know how old Zachariah is? Yes. You know how long they've been trying for a baby? Yes. You know how they've given up? Yes. Well, God's finally answered their prayer. She's pregnant. 6 months. So, God could do it for her, could do it for you." Testimony. This is what testimony is all about. You see, it's encouraging us with, look, ordinary stories, they're supernatural stories, aren't they? They're ordinary stories of what God has done in the lives of ordinary people like you and I. And we can say, look, you know, God's healed them. God's provided for them. God's moved in that situation. Wow! It encourages our faith in the fact that God's Word is true. And what does Mary say? Mary say, "Behold, you're the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. So I want to encourage us not to allow the enemy to steal the word. I want to encourage us tonight not to allow persecution, challenges, or offense to steal the word. I am encouraging you tonight not to allow riches or the worries of this world to steal the word or the covetousness of what other people have got, but to be the good ground that bears fruit and say to God, your word says this. Let it be to me according to your word. And for fruit to be born. Now, Gabriel told Mary some testimony. So let's have our testimony. Who's going to start first? Jean, are you going to start first? Go on. What was yours? Provision?
Well, that's only in a minute.
You'll tell us in a minute.
Well, I told you the other week about the washing machine.
Yes.
Well, this is a different story now. At New North Road, we've quite a few asylum seekers.
Yes.
But this one was down at Lockwood.
Yes.
Never met him at Lockwood Church. But he came to work with me at Cart. I work at Cart at Lockwood on a Friday. A Kurdish Iranian, and his name was Ayub.
There you are.
Got a phone call one Sunday afternoon, and it was Ruth Ingleby from Lockwood, and she said, the police came last night, Jean, and they've taken him to Lincoln. They've taken Ayub to Lincoln.
Yeah.
Well, that's the deportation centre. So then I started praying, as yes. It says in Scripture, pray night and day.
Yes.
And I prayed night and day for him.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck firm on his promise.
Yes.
Everything it tells you, and I believe 100%. I really believe
yes.
that. And God showed me something one night. In prayer, he showed me Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt.
Yes.
And parting the Red Sea. And I knew what he was saying to me, God. He was going to hold the Home Office back.
Yes.
Well, he passed the 8th of February.
Yes.
So three of us went down to Lincoln, didn't we?
Yes.
We put us coats on. I believed so much and
yes.
I trusted God that much.
Yes.
And when we got down there, I got hold of Ayub and I'm talking to him, you know, and I'm saying, Ayub, I'm telling you now, God has his hand on you.
Yes.
God has his hand on you. I said, do you know the story of Moses? He said,
yes.
Well, I said the story because I thought just in case
yes.
he said yes and he wasn't,
didn't,
you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we prayed about things and we came home. Then later on, I got another phone call from Ruth. She said, Jean, the police have been to Lincoln and they've taken him and they've put him on an aeroplane and they've taken him to Italy.
Mm.
Well, that's where they were deporting to. I thought, oh dear. I still don't believe that they're going to keep him.
Mm.
And she said, when he got to Italy, all the Home Office papers were wrong, and they had to send him back to England.
All right.
And they didn't have enough time to issue new papers to take him back to Italy, so he stayed in England.
Right.
They put him in Liverpool, and he's now living in Leeds.
Right.
And that was up from February.
Yes.
So he's allowed to stay in this country.
Yes.
But God had his hand on him.
Yes.
You know, and that to me was a miracle.
Amen.
You know, and when Ruth said to me, all the Home Office papers were wrong, and you sent him back.
Yeah.
I said, hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Okay. So, amen. So, Jean heard the word of God. She accepted it, believed it, and there was some fruit from it. Elaine, you're going to come and share?
I don't know if anyone knows, but I was a Jehovah's Witness, and I came out of the Jehovah's Witnesses because that I knew that what we were teaching were false.
Mm.
And I just lost my husband, and I sat down and I sat to pray, and thought, Lord, where do I go from here? Now, when Howard Helen had bought me a Bible, not a Jehovah's Witness Bible, but a Christian Bible.
Yes.
So I sat down and I opened the pages and I thought, Lord, please show me where you want me to be now. And he showed me a scripture and it said, I am the way, the light, and no one comes to the Father but through me.
Yes.
And it wasn't just reading the message, it did something inside me.
Amen.
So I read it again and it just hit me. And it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that's when I found the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
And I stronger and stronger by reading the Bible.
Amen.
And coming to know Jesus personally in my life.
Amen. 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 Good. Wow. So, there is an example of the word, of hearing the word, understanding it, and accepting it. Praise God. You know, and what God can do in for Jehovah's Witness, hallelujah, he can do for you. You know, he can help you understand the truth of his word. Chris, come and encourage us with a healing.
You'll no doubt remember 12, 14 weeks ago, whatever it was now, Heather, brain cancer,
yeah.
Lung cancer, 3 weeks to live. We prayed, she survived. She had to go into hospital. She was scared of the needles. We prayed. She got through it. Well, this week, she had to go back for a checkup. And she went to the doctors this week, and the doctor looked at her. Everything seems fine. He said to her, "How's your drain doing that you've got in?" She said, "Well, it fell out last Saturday.
You're
it's
right.
not being put back." And he checked her, and everything is healing up. Absolutely brilliantly.
Amen.
And the word the doctor used was, "I am bemused by what's happened." And she told him that she wasn't bemused
Amen.
By what's happened because she knew exactly what had happened.
Yeah.
And her partner came and asked that everyone here be thanked for all
Amen.
The prayer that they gave her, that he knows, that she knows, has seen her healed and is going to see her to a full recovery.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. So are you beginning to be encouraged now, you see? Because God's word is true. And what we're doing now is just doing like what Gabriel did to Mary and just encouraging ourselves with some testimony that God's word is true. Lord, open our eyes. Oh, give us that understanding so that we not only just assent to what you speak to us, but we accept it, Lord Jesus, into our lives, and it bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What we're going to do now then is we're going to, you know, say, "Lord, I've got this need. Oh, open my eyes. Show me that what you want to do in my life." And as he shows you, just receive of him. Accept it into your life. Be encouraged by the testimonies tonight. And see your prayers answered tonight. We're going to ask Gal and the worship group just to come and lead us in a song. And if you want somebody to stand with you in prayer, well, just find someone near to you and say, "Pray with me. Encourage me, agree with me, help me to just receive everything that God has got for me tonight. Stand with me. I don't want the enemy to pinch anything, steal anything that God has for me tonight. I want to receive and accept the impossible, what seems impossible, because I know with God all things are possible." Amen.